the Western-style Democratic Party, and only 17% of the population voted for communists. Now, in 47, as I told you, the Hungarian democracy has been destructed in 47 during the summer. Well, it was very simple said as a plot carried out by the Communist Ministry of Interior, which produced a so-called conspiracy trial against the top leaders of the majority party. So that has been the smallholder party. So the general secretary of the smallholders was illegally dragged off by the Russians, by the Russian occupation forces. The Hungarian prime minister and the president of the National Assembly had to flee from Hungary. Now, I should like to characterize that the communists consider the time as ripe to carry out now a new and Moscow-style election. I used to get questions why the communists have permitted for us opposition parties to run for the elections. Well, it's very easy to understand if you understand the general line of the communist tactics. After the takeover, after seizing the power, when they have already decided that they will liquidate the political opposition, they wanted at first to see who is an opposition leader, who is an opposition organizer, and so on. So they permitted to form the opposition parties to run opposition tickets for the parliamentary seats. And shortly after the election, when they got the relative majority, naturally they started with a police action and they started to arrest, to execute or to persecute the opposition members, opposition candidates, members of parliament, and so on. Now, I should like to refer what I wanted to say, that in this election, the communists, maybe you remember, it was again a well-known fact, excluded from the voting registers much more than 1,100,000 citizens. Besides of that, they have forged more than 500,000 votes. And in spite of all these unlawful arrangements, which were strongly opposed by the United States government and the press and the British government, they couldn't more obtain than 22% of the votes. As I said, it was unfortunately enough to have a relative majority and to form a through and through fellow traveler government. Now, we Hungarians, we used to regard this time, this date, the 31st August 49, as a dividing line when the Hungarian democracy has been destructed and when the Bolshevization period started. Now, again, summing up the facts, you will see the same stages in the other countries, what we have seen in Hungary since that time. The first step of the Bolshevization everywhere behind the Iron Curtain was, using the Bolshevik terminology again, the liquidation of the political opposition. So it was carried out by police action. The opposition parties were dissolved. A great lot of the political leaders were involved into this artificially created show trials, conspiracy trials. Another part was arrested without any legal reason, referring to the fact that Hungary is an occupied country and the Russians have charged them as anti-Russian spies. So they belong to the Russian military courts. They were dragged off and they are now building up nice railroads and airports somewhere in the Bering Channel, very, very close to the United States. So, after the political liquidation, which has been perfected or accomplished in 48, started the second stage, the economic takeover. Now you see the economic takeover is quite a well-known fact again here in the Western world. You know that the nationalization program was carried out. And you certainly know that according to this nationalization program, they introduced a planning economy. Now, some points of view I should like to give you to make it more clear, the picture. The first one is that by this nationalization program, they have never regarded the internal interests, I mean the national interests. The countries concerned became wedged into a centralized Moscow planning economy. It's again an easy argument, the Hungarian one. For instance, we have never had before a significant heavy industry. We had no coal and no steel suitable for that. After the communist takeover and after the new Hungarian five-year plan, an over-dimensioned heavy industrial center is going to be built up in the southern part of Hungary, only because, and as I said, regardless of the fact that it's much more expensive, it has no economic or commercial reason for Hungary. We used to get the steel from Eastern Germany and the coal from Poland. But the Russian economy needs a heavy industrial center in the southern spot of Central Europe to supply the Bulgarian and the Romanian war industry and military power. So they started to build up. As to realize this over-dimensioned capacity of that, Hungary, as a 10 million population country, and with such a size as the American state Maine, has never had an industrial labor over 1 million people. Now, in the last year, in 1950, 200,000 new industrial laborers were employed, particularly by the heavy industrial projects. And this new heavy industrial center I was talking about, it is going to build by 35,000 people. So it doesn't start, or didn't start up to this day, but it's on the way to be built up. Now you will find quite the same development in Poland and quite the same development in the highly developed area of Czechoslovakia. They have speeded up the industrial production as soon as was possible, and they made from this five-year plans concerned a part of the Moscow economy. The second point of view I should like to give you make it clear, by taking over the economic and financial life, they have accomplished a very great political job. If we are going to speak or if we are going to examine the questions of a possible resistance, you see, every resistance is strongly connected with technical problems, financial problems, economic problems. The Nazis never had the opportunity and the time enough to seize control over the economic life because they were too busy with the war itself and because they have had a not so well-developed system of control. Now, you will find a whole explanation of this seemingly over-dimensioned state control, this over-dimensioned state bureaucracy on that particular field. They have made everybody dependent on the government, on the party, or on the communist-dominated trade unions. They made everybody controlled by these front organizations. They have systematically destructed all the independent existences. So they got controlled the everyday life so strongly that nobody has an uncontrolled fund. But if we suppose that somebody has it, he can't resist with it, he can't use it, because if he's going to buy a mimeograph, he can't do it for 49 January, according to a communist decree, all the mimeographs and hectographs are due to be reported and registered with the communist authorities. All the printing houses are naturally nationalized and under a very strong control. If he's going to travel too much, if he meets people too much, the attention of the control would be automatically created from what sources the money he has the money to do so. So they distracted the financial and the economic basis for a possible resistance. And that makes a very great and determinative limit to the resistance movement in the future. Now, I should like to go further. So after the economic takeover, they started to attack the churches, so to attack and to destroy the psychologic resistance of the countries concerned. Well, this job is not yet accomplished, but they have already destructed the main strength of the hierarchies of the churches concerned. You certainly know that the great issue was the separation between the states and the churches, which is very funny to understand, or hard to understand here in a democratic state. And it's much more funny to explain for me, for a social democrat, who was fighting for the same issue for a couple of years. In Eastern and Central Europe, all the democratic parties were fighting for the separation between the churches and states. But in the same time, when we were confronted with communist domination, and the communists started to put up this question, all the democratic parties said, well, not in this time. Because we realized very quickly again that it was not only a question of education, because that has been the nucleus of the whole issue. For instance, in Hungary, 64% of the Hungarian schools were run by the various churches before World War II. Now, I don't want to go into that detail, if it was a good thing or not. But anyway, when the communist government wanted to take over the schools, everybody realized that the question is not a simple question of state education, but a question of anti-religious education and a strictly Leninist education. Well, after the hierarchy has been destroyed or disrupted, and the smaller part of the churches were so deeply intimidated that they have undersigned the agreement between the state and the churches, the communists took over the schools, and our theory was again proved by the facts, because they started to introduce a lot of classes in all the schools, from the elementary schools up to the universities. Now, the name of these classes, they are very various, because the universities have got Leninism as political studies. The high schools have got basic principles of political studies. That's the, it was the same material. And the elementary schools, they have got only a very nice easy class, the class of everyday problems. So they started to involve the children to the everyday problems on the way of the actual propaganda line. Now, these were the stages of how they have distracted something. But now I think on the days of the great debate how to defend Europe, if we are going to defend Europe at all, so in these days I think the most important questions are the two last stages. The first, what I touched, the building up of a new war industry, which is quite proved by the everyday reports that we have got from behind the Iron Curtain, and the other one, the building up of the new military strength of the satellite. Now, as far as the industrial power is concerned, shortly I should like to refer only the fact. Please, ladies and gentlemen, go after and look after the problems It's very easy to say at the first glance that these 11 countries, including Eastern Germany again, they are not so important